Why don't I pray as we focus here in on Luke chapter 2. And God, thank you for today. So thankful, God, for your many blessings. We're thankful for your presence with us and just the countless ways, Father, that you encourage us through one another, through the beauty of Christian fellowship. We're thankful for our church family. Father, I pray that we would, as we come together like this, that we would be built up in you, in your strength, in your word, in your truth. I pray that you would do that here through the words that I speak. I pray that this would not be me that comes out, my opinions or anything, Lord, but you, your word, your truth, your pure gospel truth that has the power to change hearts and lives. And I pray that you would do that here this morning, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Luke chapter 2, we're introduced to a man. His appearing is pretty brief here in the chapter. He kind of comes and goes, and it's not as though he's unimportant, but with everything else that was going on at the time, his entrance and then his exit would almost seem to be peripheral to all the things that were happening. Simeon, of course, we're talking about Simeon. You heard the reading as Nicholas and Andrea came up and did the lighting earlier. Simeon comes in here in Luke chapter 2, and I kind of compare him a little bit, I think we've all probably been at weddings, but almost like a groomsman or a bridesmaid, right, where your role is important. It has great significance in all the things that are going on, but at the end of the day, you're not the main focus, and I don't think Simeon really wanted to be the main focus, but I want to focus on him for a little bit today. Certainly, we focus on Jesus, and he will be our main focus, but I want to do that through the experiences of Simeon and work on this a little bit. So, we're told a little bit about him as we're introduced to him in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. So we learn that Simeon was in Jerusalem. This is where he lived. This man was righteous and devout. So we learn that about him as well, that he was a faithful man. He was a godly man. We've seen this description. I mentioned it when we talked about Zechariah a few weeks ago, the father of John the Baptist, right? He was described in a similar way. We've been talking about Job for the last few months, and we'll be getting back into Job soon. Again, described in much the same way, a righteous man, a blameless man. So Simeon would be along those lines. So those are more things that we see about him. He was, as we read further, waiting for the consolation of Israel, the consolation or the comfort, the relief of the nation of Israel, which was going through a challenging time, I guess, to say the least. So he was waiting for that. He was waiting for their comfort, their relief from all the things that were going on. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. So we read that about him as well. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Simeon, I guess we could compare him perhaps to the Old Testament prophets, right? And so he was a bit of a throwback to them. God was speaking to him. In fact, God had revealed to him. God had revealed something very specific to Simeon. And so maybe you're sitting there wondering, okay, well, what's going on? I thought this was kind of leading through the end of the 400 silent years. And we've talked about that. Well, God wasn't silent. It's not as though God just disappeared for 400 years. He was maybe speaking in a different way or a little bit less than he had, But it's not as though God had departed, and certainly we see that with Simeon, because God was speaking to Simeon. God was revealing things to him. But you know, as we compare him to these Old Testament prophets, a lot of times the messages that they were given to relay were pretty unpopular. I think we could agree with that. It often got them in trouble speaking out the things that God had given them to speak out. And another quality that really seems to characterize these prophets was certainly faith, as we read in Hebrews chapter 11. We read about the faith of all these prophets, but their patience. Their patience in hoping, right? Because we know, again, from Hebrews chapter 11 and just from reading these things, that many of the prophecies that they spoke, the promises that they relayed, they didn't get to see the fulfilling. They didn't get to see the promises kept. They didn't get to see the prophecies fulfilled. It didn't mean that they didn't believe them, but they didn't get to see it with their eyes. They hoped, right? A living hope, a deep hope, but a hope nonetheless. And so they always came short of being able to see with their eyes these things revealed. But that's where Simeon is different from these Old Testament prophets. Simeon did get to see with his eyes the fulfillment of the promise. In fact, that was the promise to Simeon. As we read further here in Luke 2, in verse 26, "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.'" So we get there that Simeon got to see the promise fulfilled. Sight is pretty prevalent there, isn't it? That he would not see death or experience death until he had held or beheld the Lord Jesus face to face. And I want to kind of lean into the theme of hope here today. I haven't exactly been following a traditional pattern through the Advent season. We've been moving a little bit through the first couple chapters of Luke. We did touch on joy last week, and I want to touch on hope here this week. And I think the other kind of classic or traditional Advent themes hopefully have come out. The waiting, the expectancy, the peace, the love, those kinds of themes that are often talked about. But I want to lean into that theme of hope a little bit today. I think Simeon was a man of great hope. And at least until he saw the Lord Jesus face to face. And here's what I mean. I want to go to Romans chapter 8 for a little bit. Oops. And there's a passage in that chapter that I think really connects really well with this. And so in Romans chapter 8, if we start reading here at verse 18, and we'll kind of get to, it touches on the theme of hope, but then it, at the end of the passage that I'm going to read, it really gets into there a little deeper. But I wanted to read the whole passage here to help us understand. So here's what Paul writes. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So, we get there that Paul's talking about the hope that we as Christians have for things that we have not yet seen, right? And that connects very closely to faith, which is the conviction of things not seen, as we read in Hebrews 11:1. So we have this understanding that when we're hoping for something, we're hoping for it. It's not just I kind of hope this happens, and it may or may not happen. We are hoping for something that we know very well will happen. We just haven't seen it yet. We just haven't had that experience yet, where the hope has turned into sight, has turned into reality, has turned into to the actual experience. For Simeon, as he went there to, in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit had guided him to the temple. Mary and Joseph were there to bring Jesus, to present him, to dedicate him at the temple. And Simeon was brought there at the same time so that he could have his promise fulfilled. So up until then, it was a hope for him, right? He hadn't seen salvation, or at least he hadn't seen the face of Jesus, his salvation. So it was a hope. And in that way, I think Simeon personifies the church, right? Christians. Well, he personified the people of Israel in that way at that time. I think we could say that. They were waiting for the consolation of Israel. They were waiting for the comfort. They were waiting for the relief. I mean, I think we could say that about the whole nation. Even there was the remnant that were more faithful, the ones that got it when Jesus was born, right? The ones that where the light shone and they saw the light and they received Christ Jesus. And to them, they were given the privilege of being children of God. We know there were many who rejected Jesus, but even for those who rejected Jesus, they were waiting for this. They were waiting for the consolation of Israel. They were waiting for the relief of Israel, albeit maybe in a different way than how it eventually happened. And that's why they rejected Christ. But in that regard, Simeon, I think we could look at as personifying the nation in that sense, where he was waiting for this hope. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for his hope to be turned into sight. He personifies the church in that we are now in that place, are we not? We're in that place of hope. We're waiting patiently, as Paul said in Romans 8. We're waiting for our adoption as sons and daughters, as children of God, to be brought to fullness. We're waiting for the redemption of our bodies, when this corruptible will put on the incorruptible. We're waiting for that. We're hopefully waiting patiently, although I don't know, sometimes maybe not so much, but we're waiting for it, right? We haven't quite seen it yet. We believe it, and we know it's no less real, but we have yet to see it. So we're like Simeon in that way. And so that's why I think Simeon is a really poignant character, a really interesting guy to focus in on a little bit, because we are, in that sense, Simeon. We're waiting for a Savior from heaven. We're waiting for the consolation of the church, the comfort, the relief of the church, who live in a world that is often unkind to the church, a world whose values are far different than ours. If we really believe Scripture, this world is going in a very different way. And so as we wait, we wait as people of hope. And I mean, Simeon was hoping for the promise to be revealed. We're hoping for the promise to be revealed. And so when you ask a Christian, if I ask you or if you ask me, in what do we hope, our answer would likely, hopefully, be we hope in Jesus. That's the right answer. We talk about the Sunday school answer, right? It's always Jesus. You just answer Jesus and you're good to go. And we like to get the answers right, and that's good. But I really want to press in on that. I mean, okay, so we know, let me just read a couple verses. And I don't know that I need to do this necessarily. I think we know that our hope is Jesus. But the Bible's pretty clear on that too. So in 1 Timothy, I'll just read a couple examples. I mean, it's all over the place. But just right at the beginning of 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope. Christ Jesus, our hope. Jesus is our hope. If we jump ahead to 1 Peter, 1 Peter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So as Christians, we are people of hope. We ought to be people of hope. And our hope is focused on the Lord Jesus. We hope in his death and resurrection. We hope in his teaching, in his life. And we hope in his coming return. Right? That is our living hope. It's not a dead hope. It's not a faint hope. It's a real concrete hope, and yet one that we have yet to see, one that we have yet to completely realize. And so I want to push in on that a little bit and say, okay, we know the answer when I ask, in what do you hope or in who do you hope? It's Jesus. Yes, it is. But there's being able to answer the question correctly, and then there's being able to know it in our hearts. And that's what we're seeking. That's what we want in our Christian walk, in our lives, because this world can threaten that hope. This world can threaten the hopefulness of the Christian. So I spoke of prophets. Let's back up into the Old Testament. Let's go to the book of Lamentations for a little bit. This is Jeremiah the prophet lamenting, obviously, judging by the title of the book. The nation, the city, they were in a bad place, right? They were under siege. They were being taken over. It was a bad time for the nation of Israel, for the people of God. This was a very bad time. Now, they had been warned, so they didn't have any excuses, but it didn't make it any less painful or devastating for them. And here's what Jeremiah writes here in Lamentations. This is chapter 3 of Lamentations, and I'm going to start reading in verse 13. And you get the sense of how hard it was for them in this time. He writes, "He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished, so has my hope from the Lord." That's a hard thing to read. This is the prophet. This is the prophet that we read about the prophets. They were people of patience. They were people of hope. They were people of faith. And here's Jeremiah saying, I'm done. I'm empty. My hope is gone. My happiness is gone. This is too much for me. Life had gotten the better of him in that time. Now, we'll read the rest of that because he does flip the page from that, but let's just sit there for a second and consider the question of what threatens our hope, as we are to be people of hope in this world. What can threaten that? Well, the circumstances of life, right? Things can get the better of us, right? We prayed earlier, as Tyson was praying, and there's some hard things that people are dealing with, are working through. Life has hit some of us very, very hard. Some of you know that full well. Some of you have been through that or are going through it. All of us at one time or another are going to have life kind of come crashing in on us, and things are going to threaten and threaten to rob us of that happiness, that patience, that endurance, that hope that we know we ought to have in Christ Jesus. Your brothers and sisters sitting around you today, many of us are struggling in that way. And our intention as we come to God's word together is not to bring discouragement, is not to say, well, you know, forget about it, like, but to actually remember that hope to which we are called, right? When that hope is threatened. And it was threatened for Jeremiah, for the people of Israel, for the people of Jerusalem in that day, in that dark day when they were under siege from enemy nations and things were desperate. I suspect for Simeon, we don't know a lot about him before this time, but I suspect for Simeon, there must have been days when he wrestled with it. You know, God, I'm having one of those days today. Now would be a really good time for you to keep that promise, remember? Remember that promise that I would see the Lord's Christ? Well, I'd like to see that now. I'd like to see him now. And I wonder if there were times when Simeon maybe was on the fringe, the brink of kind of, yeah, abandoning that hope. And sometimes we get there, right? Sometimes we're just hanging on by a thread. And I would encourage you today, and I don't know everyone's circumstances, I certainly can't sympathize perfectly with everyone in this room and the things that you're going through, but I do know that whatever the circumstances, Jesus is your hope. He is your living hope. You know, consider again Simeon. We come back to him again and again. He is kind of our model here. Because, again, like I said, we are sort of Simeon in that way. But, you know, for years and years, he had anticipated this promise being fulfilled. He had waited. He had waited patiently, as Paul said. And just consider that day when finally the Spirit, you know, guided him to the temple. Like, now you got to go. Now's the time. And he would, you know, maybe came alongside Mary and Joseph and came to them and took the baby Jesus into his arms. And that first time when he looked at his face and the, you know, if we could freeze frame that precise moment when the promise was finally fulfilled. That will happen. For us, our hope will turn into sight. We will see that day come. However hard this life is, because if we hope in good circumstances in life, if we hope for, you know, days and days of happiness and glee, if we hope for wealth and prosperity, if we hope for health, if we hope for all these things, if that's what our hope rests in ultimately, then we're on very shaky ground, because circumstances come, life happens, right? Our you know, people disappoint us. There's health issues. People pass away, people that we love that we would never want to lose. Our kids rebel and things happen. And if we place our hope in all those things, boy, it's precarious. And so when we talk about hope, it's not, well, praying to God to give us the things that we want. I mean, there's a lot of days, I'm sure, that Simeon wanted the promise to be fulfilled that day, but God had an exact time in mind. I can think back on many times in my life where I prayed for God, and I've spent a lot of time praying for things that never came, or came at a much later time, or in a much different manner than I would have thought was good, right? I know best, don't I? No, right? And certainly it's best that God didn't just give me what I wanted in those times. See, that's not hope, just to hope in getting what I want. But we hope in God. We hope in God who is sovereign, who is ruler of all, and who knows exactly what we need. I don't want to forget to bring the Lamentations around, because I don't want to end on that where he had abandoned hope. I'll reread that last verse. So I say, my endurance has perished, so has my hope from the Lord. But then, of course, as we read on, remember my afflictions and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. He knew he couldn't hope in the circumstances around him. He couldn't hope in his nation. He couldn't hope in his city. He couldn't hope in the structure of the temple. His hope had to rest. Our hope had to rest on God alone, on Christ alone. Simeon couldn't hope in the circumstances. He couldn't hope in whatever was going on in his life. His hope had to be in the Lord. And so when his hope of that promise revealed was turned to sight, then he beheld Jesus, and then he saw what our hope now is. Lord, now you are letting, this is Simeon's blessing now over Jesus. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. This is why we hope in Christ. He is our salvation. There's nothing else in this world, nothing else in life can make that claim. Our salvation rests in Christ, and in only Christ. So while we may get tempted to hope in the temporal things of this world, the worldly things, the things that pass away, that moth and rust destroy, we may be tempted to place our hope in those things. My prayer is that God will always bring us back to his living hope, a living and abiding hope that will not disappoint, that will not fail us. If you're on the brink today, if you're kind of wrestling between those two things, maybe you haven't quite stepped into this life of faith where you've received Christ Jesus as your Savior and you've said, yes, my hope is in you. And you've been trying to place your hope in worldly things, and you know full well that it's let you down every time. We all know that. Every time we've tried to place our hope in something of this world, it's let us down. It's disappointed us. But God never does that. He may not give us exactly what we want. In fact, I would say he rarely gives us exactly what we want, because the heart of man is not so good. But he gives us him, and he gives us salvation. He gives us what we truly need, and that's hope. That is hope. Not getting what we want, but getting what God wants for us. So as we have this time, our last Sunday, I guess we'll be gathering one more time yet before Christmas, and looking ahead, may our hope always rest in Christ Jesus. And may we go beyond just being able to say the right answer, but knowing in our hearts the true hope that is only found in Christ Jesus. So looking at all you Simeons out there, let's continue that hope, because one day that hope will turn into sight. We will behold our Savior face to face. We will have that promise fulfilled of the redemption of our bodies, of that full adoption as children of the Lord God. What a hope it is. What a hope we have been called to. It is a living hope. And I pray that we would go forward in that. So let me pray. Father, we thank you for the hope we have in you. I thank you for the examples that we've seen, the example of Jeremiah and the people as they went through horrific times, but he could resolve and say his hope was in you. For the Apostle Paul, who understood that the sufferings of this time are not worth comparing with what will be revealed, with what will happen when you return. And the example of Simeon, who continued to hope and wait patiently for the comfort and consolation of his people, and was able to behold the Savior face to face and see salvation. So Father, help us, I pray, to look to those examples, and most importantly, to look to you, the author and perfecter of our faith, of our hope. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.